We have a few cartoon slides here. Okay, the first one, here we go. Some of you might think this, resolutions, me, just what are you implying that I need to change? Well, buddy, as far as I'm concerned, I'm perfect the way I am. Some of you are feeling like that in 2020. Okay, the next one. I can't believe it's been a year since I didn't become a better person. Hopefully you're not feeling that today. Happy New Year to someone too lazy to change their desk calendar past May, okay? Some of you have that calendar, you start off well in January, and then it tails off. And then this last one, my New Year's resolution is to lose just enough weight so that my gut doesn't jiggle when I brush my teeth. That's a good church laugh today. That's good. Like, are we supposed to laugh? Well, once again, Happy New Year. My New Year's Eve and Michelle's New Year's Eve started about 5 o'clock in Radium. We've done it for almost 20 years now. Fireworks were at 6:30, and then we waited. New Year's Eve has become hard to stay up till the ball drops. We wish we had channels from New York or Ontario. Someone declares Happy New Year in my house. Usually my dad will go, Happy New Year, I'm going to bed, and it's about 9:30. Michelle and I usually, except this year, normally Michelle and I usually look at each other and say this, well, do you want to stay up? I don't think so. But this year we stayed up past midnight. 2020 is going to be a great year. I can sense it. Thanks, Darren. So today, I want to do this. Before we jump in a new series next week, I want to talk to you about some things for 2020 that I think we as individuals and we as a church should commit to, okay? So there's going to be four things that we're going to commit to together. Here's the very first one, okay? I want you to commit to forget your failures in 2020. Okay, I want you to commit to forget your failures in 2020. If you want to pull out your Bibles, Philippians 3, I'm going to give you like four verses this year that I want you to hold on to, okay? So Philippians chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 13. If you have your pew Bibles and are using that, it's on page 1013, okay? So Philippians chapter 3, if you have your own Bible, if you're using the church's Bible, page 1013. I'm going to give you just four verses this year that are going to be tied to these themes that I have. So Philippians 3, verse 13, Paul writes this, and it's powerful words for us. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I haven't figured it out yet. But one thing I do, I forget what is behind, and I strain toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. God is alive, so you don't have to live your life imprisoned by your past. It doesn't mean that you have to repeat it over and over and over again this year. All of us, if we look back at 2019, and many of you were scrolling through your Facebook on New Year's Day, and you saw this, oh, I'm glad that 2019's in the past. And I wondered, as I was scrolling through, I wondered if, do we say that every year? Like, oh, thank God, 2018 is gone, 2019 is gone. Really, here what Paul is asking us to do is forget what's in the past. All of us have failed in some way. Probably you and I don't get the privilege, and thank God it's not a privilege that we get. We don't get to see it on TV. But worse than seeing it on TV is it actually stays in our hearts and our minds. There'll be something that happens this year where all of a sudden you come face to face with a situation and you're going to do this. Ooh, I've been here before. And instantly, it's either going to immobilize you, which isn't healthy, or you're going to just do it again. For many of us, our failures are painful memories. Maybe for some of us, it's a memory of how we failed in a relationship. Maybe for some of us, it's you've made a bad decision. You've said the wrong thing. Some of you who are parents in this room know that we failed our children in some way. Many of us, even as we grow older, feel like we have failed our parents in some way. But the worst thing is many of us feel like we failed ourselves in some way. What God's word and through Paul is saying simply to us is that we must not allow ourselves to be bogged down by the things of the past. Don't dwell on it. If we dwell on it, we'll actually stop moving forward. That's why this year you're actually going to see us as a church start to talk about a new direction. We can't just as a church keep going, well, look at how good we are. We've just come out of this. Now we're looking toward this. We actually have to start going, this is what God's calling us to, because if we just keep remembering the past, it actually just immobilizes us in the future. I think that the start of the new year, and especially the start of a new decade, is a good time for us to rise up to this challenge, to forget what was in our past, to say to ourselves, I'm going to, with the help of God, forget my past. I'm going to stop torturing myself on what I did or I didn't do. This new year is a good time to stop being chained to some of the failures of the past. On the cross, Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. When we actually follow Christ on purpose, when we actually with intent follow Jesus, that forgiveness becomes a reality in our lives. When we've received Christ's forgiveness, it allows us to forgive ourselves and actually forget our failures. So for some of you, that's all you need to hear this morning. You need to stop living in the past. 2020 is here. God has great plans and dreams and a future for you if you seek Him. Here's the second thing. Some of you, that was like, okay, I don't remember my past. 2019 was great. 2018 was great. Here's, maybe this one's for you, the second one. We need to commit to giving up our grudges in 2020. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3, okay? So we're going to stay in Paul's writings, Colossians 3. I'd love for some of you to take these verses that I'm giving you and just kind of memorize them throughout the year, because they're great verses for us as we kind of talk about 2020. So Colossians chapter 3, if you're using your Pew Bible, it's on page 1017, okay? So 1017, just a few pages from the last one in Philippians. Colossians 3 verse 13 says this, "Bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." These one another's, there's actually 30 some that are in the New Testament. And these one another's actually help us function in community. And here, Paul wrote that, "Bear with one another, forgive one another. If any of you have something against someone, forgive them as God forgave you." Did you catch that challenge? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. God, in those words from Paul, is challenging you directly to give up your grudges and your unforgiveness that you have in your hearts. Well, what's a grudge? Some of you might go, I don't really have grudges. As I worked through this week, I went, I don't really have grudges. But then as we start to bring a definition to it, we start to go, that's me. A grudge is this, it's a deep ongoing resentment. And I love this definition, that we cultivate in our hearts and our minds. It's not just a disagreement or a resentment that we have, but we're actually cultivating it. So how do we cultivate it? We actually go like this. Well, I'm not going to sit over there. Or, you know what, I'm not going to put myself in that person's path. Or, you know what, when we gather as a family, it's just better that I don't say anything. And so we start to build up these grudges, these mechanisms that we have that just fuel resentment. A grudge is an unforgiving spirit that leads to unforgiving attitudes and unforgiving actions. Harboring a grudge is about nursing a dislike for someone. What you need to know is that grudges are extremely dangerous because they're destructive. Grudges destroy marriages. Grudges break up families. Grudges ruin friendships. Grudges split churches. Let's be honest enough to admit that one of the failures that the church in North America has is that we hold grudges against each other. Today, if you know you're holding a grudge against someone, then God has something to say to you. He says, give it up. I want to remind you that grudges are not just destructive to us as a community, but they're also destructive to you. When you hold a grudge against someone, you hurt yourself way more. Make no mistake about it, if you keep harboring a grudge, then it will eventually destroy you. It will kill you. It might not physically, but it will emotionally and spiritually. It makes you bitter. It makes you hate people. Job 21, you don't need to turn there, says this. Have no happiness at all. Everyone will live and die with bitter hearts. Do you really want that to be what you're known for? I want you to just think about this for a second. Do you remember the parable that Jesus taught about the servant who was forgiven a huge debt by the king and then refused to forgive someone else for that tiny amount? Jesus said this, that unforgiving spirit actually landed that person in prison. Max Lucado, and many of us would read some of Max Lucado's writings, said this, unforgiving servants always end up in prisons. Prisons of anger, guilt, and depression. Anger, guilt, and depression. Remember what we said in Colossians 3, and some of you would still have it open in front of you. Colossians 3 said, bear with one another, forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone else, forgive as the Lord forgave you. According to God's word that we just read in Colossians here, the only way to give up a grudge is to forgive a grievance. Notice what God is saying here. He is not saying to ignore whatever the person has done to you. He is not asking you to pretend it didn't happen. He doesn't ask you to condone it, to pretend it didn't matter. When God asks you to do is to forgive the grievance. That means to acknowledge how wrong and painful what was done to you, but decide to forgive the person who did the wrong to you. I am convinced that there are people right here this morning that need to give up their grudges and forgive the grievance that they have against someone else. Some of you need to forgive the grievance that you've been holding against your children. Some of you need to forgive a partner. Some of you need to forgive the grievance that you have with someone at work because of the way they treated you. Some of you need to forget that grudge, give up that grudge that has stemmed from an argument that you had with someone. Some of you probably need to give up grudges that you've had against other people in this congregation. God says this, that deep-seated resentment you have against another person has to go. I'm going to challenge you in 2020, and this list we're actually going to come back to a few times this year. I'm going to ask you, have you given up your grudges? Are you still holding on to them? Now, don't tell God you can't forgive, because what you really mean when you say that is that you won't forgive. If Christ can forgive my sins on the cross and in all that pain, then I certainly can forgive someone here on earth. Here's the third one. Okay, so maybe the first one didn't apply to you. Maybe the second one didn't apply to you. Here's the third one. You need to commit to restore a relationship or relationships in 2020. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 12, verse 18. Romans 12, 18. If you're using your Pew Bible, it's on page 976. Romans 12, 18. So four verses this year that hopefully we'll memorize together. Commit to restore relationships in 2020. Romans 12, 18. This is the challenge from God. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You can go into different translations if you want. It still says the same thing. So here's God's word for us. If it is possible, as far as it's dependent on you, live at peace with everyone. The important phrase there that's there is simply this: as far as it depends on you. God is using that phrase to personally challenge each of us to restore our relationship. The God of this world, the Lord, wants you to do everything you can to restore any relationships that have gone wrong in your life. Some relationships might have gone wrong in your life because of what other people have done. And they might well not want that relationship restored. God understands that. That's why God says this: if it's possible. But let's be honest. Some of our relationships have gone wrong because of what we've done. When God's word says here, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, it's saying that if you caused a rift in a relationship, that you have the responsibility to do everything that you can to restore it. That everything includes the one thing that you and I like to hold on to. And that's our dignity, and we struggle to ask for forgiveness. Am I the only person who finds it hardest to say I'm sorry to the people that I'm closest to? I wonder how many marriages represented here are not all they should be or could be because someone won't say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? I'm certain that some of us who are married need to ask for forgiveness for those harsh words and cutting remarks that have really wounded our partners over the last few years. Maybe God is saying to some of us that the challenge this year, 2020, is the right time to restore the relationships that we ruined by going and sincerely saying that we're sorry for those angry words. Keith Drury wrote these words. Let me just read them for you. This is what he says. Restitution deals with more than property. It is also going back and making things right for hurtful things I've said or done. It's far easier for me to tell you some story than to tell you of the difficult and painful times I've had to ask my wife, my boss, my boys, my friends, my secretary to forgive me. Restitution is asking forgiveness for harsh words, for that quick tongue, those cutting remarks. It's asking forgiveness from a brother you hurt, a mother you caused heartache to, or a former spouse that you maligned. Restitution is confessing and seeking forgiveness from an old business partner, a former neighbor, a roommate. It's admitting my past errors in relationship and humbly seeking forgiveness from the one I've hurt. And it's harder to make personal restitution than property restitution. Make no mistake, it will be hard to do this in 2020. But one of the most significant things that you can do to mark this new year, this new decade, is not simply to set off a firework or to buy something new for your house, but to admit to your past errors and to seek relationship restoration and forgiveness from the one you've hurt. All right, the fourth one. Commit to yourself to work on some of your favorite sins in 2020. I want to challenge you with this. All of us have some favorite sins. Christ died to set them free. The Holy Spirit has given them power to be free from our life. But just like those former slaves, they just still choose to obey their old master. of sin. If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 6, here's another verse, a couple of verses that I want you to wrestle through this year. Romans chapter 6, we're going to look in at page 970 in your pew Bible. Romans chapter 6, Paul writes this, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can it live any longer?" This is the last challenge that I believe if you will rise to meet will make this new year, 2020, incredibly significant for you. When God says this, "Don't let sin control the way you live. Do not give into its lustful desires," he's issuing you the challenge to turn back, to turn away from sin. For most of us, when we accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we actually gave up certain sins. There were things that we knew were wrong and we chose not to do them with. Those are our besetting sins. Many of us end up choosing to give in to our besetting sins and end up living double lives. I have to ask you this, and this was my wrestle this week, is my spiritual life crippled because I've learned to live with that sin? Has Matt's life not become what God has intended it to be because I'm just choosing to live right here? It's comfortable. It's easy. It's okay. Nobody really sees that sin. It's just who I am. It's my personality. Do you have a quick temper that you constantly give into? Maybe your tongue loves to assassinate other people's characters or wound their feelings. Have you learned to live with that critical, judgmental attitude you know is wrong? Is there a sexual sin that you just keep giving into? Have you been secretly logging on to pornography sites? God here in his word challenges you to turn your back on whatever sin that is. To stop letting it control the way you live. To stop giving into it. He wants you to stop obeying your old master. Let's be clear about this. Jesus' death broke the power of sin. The Holy Spirit can give us the power to resist sin. And all that means is that we don't have to go into 2020 still being defeated by this old sin. Just remember this. Sin operates in darkness. The longer we keep it in darkness, the greater power sin has. That's why James, in James chapter 5, wrote, "Confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed." When we actually bring our sin to the light, there's zero power that sin has. But the lie that Satan's ushered to us is, just keep it hidden, just keep it hidden, just keep it hidden, just keep it hidden. If we would actually, as a church, in 2020, commit to confessing our sins one to another, sin would have no power and we would become incredibly strong. It all boils down to this. Will this new year simply just be a calendar-changing event? Or will you rise to these challenges from God's word and make these commitments as a church, as a community, so that 2020 truly is a life-changing event? Are you willing to make one of these four commitments today from what I've shared with you? For some of you, you need to commit to forgetting your failures. For some of you, you need to commit to giving up your grudges. For some of you, you need to commit to restore a relationship that's been broken. For some of you, you need to commit to getting beyond that favorite sin that you have. This new year will be really something to celebrate if you make forgiveness the heart of what it's all about for you. Forgive yourself, forgive the past. Forgive others who have hurt you. Ask for forgiveness from those who you've hurt. And ask for forgiveness from God so that you can no longer be a slave to sin. Today, as you leave, choose one thing. Let me pray. God, thanks for the start of a new year. We love it. It seems like a new year always has great hope. We look to the future. We're excited about what you're going to do. And then the middle of January hits and we've forgotten all those things. May those four themes that you laid on my heart truly resonate with my friends. May we not look at it as a list that we're checking off, but simply something we're committing to. May we commit to give up grudges. May we commit to restoring relationships. May we commit to forgiving. And may we commit to letting go of that thing that we're holding on to, that secret sin. Lord, we love you. Thank you for being a God who speaks. If I said anything that wasn't of you, God, take it from my friends' minds. If you used me in a small way to encourage my friends, make it about the Holy Spirit that prompts, guides, and leads. We love you. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Great song for us as we walk into the new year. There is a word that kept appearing in that, which was dignity. When you're trying to figure out what does it mean to love outside of these walls and inside, but outside primarily, if we could bring dignity to the world and the people that we come in contact with, they'll find Jesus. Dignity just allows us to go, man, I'm lifting you up. And in this world, we want to push down always. There was something that I wanted to do at the end of the service. Don't worry, you're not going to get embarrassed. If you've joined us in the last 3 years, like you, this wasn't your church home 3 years ago, I'd love for you to stand up. So, God is on the move. as we walk into 2020, you can sit down now. That's great. As we walk into 2020, it would be great for us to see that again, which means that we don't just hope that people find it through the doors. We have to do our part. We need to invite people into this community. God is certainly working. And 2020 for me, you heard my personal thoughts, but 2020 from a church standpoint is going to be a great year. I really sense that God is moving the right pieces at the right time. So let me pray. Don't rush out of here. We're getting out a little bit early today. Shake hands. Hang out with people. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are a God who is working. Lord, may we as individuals learn that we just can't live this life by ourselves. It's not just about us and our relationship with you. It's about us in community with one another. May we not buy into the lie that we just need to keep everything to ourselves. May we have open hands to give and to receive. May we not only be great givers, but may we also receive from this community. Thank you for my friends who in the last 3 years have begun this journey with us. We cannot wait to see what you have in store for Renfrew in 2020 and 2021, 2022. Thank you that you are a God who is active and alive, who's moving among us. We ask all this in your name. Amen.